A couple of years ago, we found out that that song had been translated into Spanish. And that was wonderful news for us. I love How Can It Be? And one thing that I really like about, one thing I like about the translation into Spanish, it's ¿Cómo puede ser? And that's How Can It Be? It's an exact translation. And a lot of times when you translate a song, it doesn't quite, the same meaning doesn't quite translate over, but that one does. And then that God should love a soulmate like me. And the translation is that God would love someone so unfaithful. And I think that even describes more that God should love a soul like me. And a lot of people saying, really, it should be because, you know, I was pretty good. And really, how can it be that God should love a soul like me so unfaithful? And that is a tremendous, that's the truth. That really should, one of those truths that should control our lives as Christians. Amazing love. How can it be that God would love a soul like me? Well, we are in the middle of an open book test, the book being your Bible, my Bible. And it's a test as to whether we are proud or not. Are you proud? What's the answer? Yes, you are. We all are, right? And that's God hates pride. No, he loves humility. And so when we see pride in our lives, what should we do? Just say, yeah, I have pride. Confess it. Recognize it. Confess it. Forsake it. Well, and it creeps in over and over and again. So we need to say, God, I need your strength to recognize it, confess it, turn from it, and by your grace, develop humility, reflecting on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we come to number 21 this morning. Number 21 is, I feel deserving. Feel deserving. What would be the opposite of, I feel deserving? Number, there's two options there, or I came up with two possibilities. What would be the opposite of, I feel deserving? The first one would be, I am unworthy. Okay, that's, you can write that down, but if you want what I had, you can, that's the idea, okay? Share? Well, it's not better, it's just it goes in the blank. Mine is better, I'll just say it. That's pride, my wife said. She's pointing that out. Jim, I feel undeserving, all right? I feel deserving. So the opposite of that, what I had, was I deserve nothing, all right, which is the same as, what did Mrs. Stabler say? I feel unworthy, okay? I deserve nothing. What would be the second one? You, well, okay, I'm thinking of me talking to someone else. You deserve more than I have. You deserve more than me? Is that right? Y'all have to help me with English, okay? And Connie's not here yet this morning, so you deserve more than me. You deserve more than I do. What happens when you see someone else with something new? Perhaps you're driving a beater. And you're jealous. You see someone that comes in with a new car or a newer car. The proud person thinks, why do they have something new? I feel deserving of that. And I really deserve something like that. It's not right. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 12, verse 15. How about a volunteer to read verse 15? Dennis?
Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep.
All right. If you see somebody rejoicing over something new that they got, what should a believer do? Rejoice with him. Rejoice with me, for I have found my coin, my sheep that was lost. Whatever was lost, rejoice with me. And so a humble person, what do they do when someone else receives something new? They rejoice. They rejoice with that person. Now the proud person, on our little paragraph there, the proud person says, I feel deserving. I think I deserve what I have. In fact, I think I ought to have more, considering how well I have lived or in light of all that I have done. I ought to have more because of how well I've lived my life or in light of all that I have done. I mentioned the lady that I met in Chick-fil-A last week, and her, when I asked her if she was ready to go to Judgment Day, basically, and she said, yeah, I am. And I asked her why, and she said, I've lived a pretty good life. I'm leaving a good legacy behind me. And what do we call that? What is that sin? It's pride. But that's the pride of what? Self-sufficiency, self-righteousness. And over again, if there was a sin that our Lord Jesus hated in people, then he confronted all the time in the Gospels, it was the sin of self-righteousness. We have no righteousness in and of ourselves. Can you think of a few biblical examples of someone who felt deserving? Ahab. Why did Ahab? What was Ahab's case? Okay, he wanted, what was his name?
Naboth.
Naboth's vineyard, and he actually ended up with Jezebel killing Naboth because he pouted and he wanted that. All right, anybody can think of someone else?
David.
How David? Okay, he wanted, I deserve her. Good. The rich young ruler. I deserve eternal life. I've kept all of these things since my youth. The rich farmer who built the bigger barns. All right? Pharisees. I also thought of Haman. Remember the king comes to him and says, Haman, what should the king do for the one in whom his soul delights? Oh, well, who would the king delight more than, in whom would the king delight more than me? Well, let me see. I think the king ought to do this. And I deserve whatever I'm saying, is what Haman's idea was. This is a fruit of pride. We do, next space, we do deserve something. We are very deserving. We ought to feel deserving in one sense. What do we deserve? Judgment. Punishment. Death. Hell. Dolores, were you going to say something? Okay, we deserve, all of your answers were great. The answer that I had was God's wrath. We deserve God's wrath. We ought to go through life thinking over and over again, I deserve God's wrath. We are proud if we think that we deserve anything else. Anything else. If we think we deserve dirt, that's pride. It really is. We don't deserve anything but wrath. And dirt would be a blessing for someone who deserves wrath and gets dirt. Right? I was thinking of Cindy's nephew that was burned. A cousin. Okay, she told us about that a couple weeks back. And you think of someone, I believe it was a suicide attempt, and you just think of someone like that, and God's mercy and grace and patience not to let them succeed. Because if we deserve wrath, and you commit suicide, and you fail, and your body is burned, that's better than the wrath that you deserve in hell. And what was his name again? Scotty, we should pray for Scotty, that the Lord would work in his heart and bring him to repentance. Think of the self-made man. He feels deserving. We have dealt with so many people in Mexico in 19, 20 years, and they try to get ahead, and they can't. Wages are extremely low, and Just think if you had to take the money that you earned on Friday or yesterday and make that last until tomorrow evening when you got paid again. A lot of people get paid every day. Some people don't, but a lot of people do. And you had to try to make that money last now until Monday night when you have more money to buy whatever else you need. And, you know, you may have to use some money to get to church because of public transportation. And really, in a sense, what a lot of people have in our church in Mexico, all they have is Christ. Some of them have worked hard, and they really have nothing in this world. And all they have is Christ. And you don't know that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have. And so we should feel deserving of God's wrath, and we should be thankful over and over. So number 22, that kind of leads us into that one. Ungrateful. Ungrateful is another fruit of pride. In Luke 17, we don't have to look at that one yet. If you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Luke 17 is the story of the 10 lepers. With leprosy, normally, if it was one of those serious cases, it was a terminal disease. You were going to die. And these 10 lepers meet Jesus, and he tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. And so they're running to the priest. And on the way, they realize, what? We've been healed. And how many of them were healed? 10. And going to show themselves, what did they do? 9 of them kept going. 1 of them returned to give thanks. And think of what's interesting to me is Jesus healed people, and many times those people who were healed were not saved. Because this man goes back and he thanks Jesus and he says, weren't there 10 of you saved? Where are the other 9? And I believe Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you whole. The other guys were healed, but this man, his sins were forgiven him. So even though Jesus healed people at times, that doesn't mean that they were automatically saved. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in favorable circumstances. In everything, or in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That giving thanks in all circumstances. That is so hard when you are going through a trial. And we just say, Lord, I'm sorry, but I can't thank you for this right now. And we continue to meditate on a verse like that, and it comes a time where we have to say, God, I really don't want to say this, but you're right. Thank you for bringing that into my life. In everything, or give thanks in all circumstances. Colossians 3. And we're going to read verses 15 to 17 here. And tell me how many times we find the words, something that has to do with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. How many times do we see thankfulness there? 3, okay? 3 times in 3 verses, and that's a very important thing. Philippians 2. And verse 14, how many times do we see thankfulness in this verse? Do all things without grumbling or questioning. How many times do you see thankfulness there? None. So what is the point? Well, humble acceptance of what God brings into our lives with thanksgiving shows humility and not pride. Complaining shows what? I deserve something better than God, what you have brought into my life right now. And so that's why that's a fruit of pride. And our little paragraph here, I often feel ungrateful. Instead of thanking other people, I tend to complain about them. I grumble about what I don't have or my lot in life. I am not amazed by grace on a regular basis. I am not amazed by grace on a regular basis. And so that's why I wanted to sing this morning, How Can It Be? That God should love a soul like me. That should produce in us thankfulness and humility constantly. You want me to say that one more time? I often feel ungrateful. Instead of thanking other people, I tend to complain about them. I grumble about what I don't have or my lot in life. I am not amazed by grace on a regular basis, and I lack joy in my life. Number 23, captive to self-pity. This person says, I have a lot of compassion for myself. Do you ever have compassion for yourself? How often? Constantly. Constantly. We all do, naturally. And our little paragraph here, I find myself wallowing in self-pity. I am consumed with how I am treated by God and others. I tend to feel mistreated and hate being misunderstood. I seldom recognize or sympathize with what's going on with others around me because I feel that I have it worse than they do. Maybe someone else has cancer. Maybe someone else is sick. Maybe someone else was in an accident and you burned a meal. All right, let's compare that, okay? And so you're just totally depressed because you burned something when there are people out there really, really struggling. They don't even have a meal to burn. They don't even have money to buy a meal. That is one thing that really weighs on your mind, on your whole being when you're in a third world country. Since a lot of traffic is just public transport, a little bus or a taxi, or a lot of people walk to a lot of places, you see everywhere people who are handicapped. You go to the metro and you see people begging. You know, I've seen many people with just two stumps all the way up to their waist. And they sit there and they get around on their hands and they're sitting there begging. And that's a common sight to see. And I might say, oh, my legs are really tired. Or my heel hurts. I'm glad I have a heel. I'm glad I have two legs. When you see constantly how other people are suffering, that should make us very grateful to God for what he has done for us and what he continues to do. And we say, I burned a meal. We have a mental competition at times with other people. And somebody says, well, it's just been difficult because of this. And in our minds, we say, oh, well, you think you have it difficult. I have it more difficult. And we come up with ways where we think my life is more difficult than yours. Who is it going worse with in life, me or you? You had someone die in your family. You had a life-threatening illness come this week. I burned some food. My life is just terrible. Well, I want to ask us something this morning. What trials do your brothers and sisters in Bible Community Church have? Do you know? If you don't know, that's not good. There are maybe many reasons why you don't know. But one reason often is because someone is captive to self-pity. Every person in Christ's body here has afflictions and trials. Do you know what other brothers and sisters in Christ are going through right now in Bible Community Church? If not, why not? And we say, well, that's not my job. I have this picture, and it's entitled, "That's Not My Job." And it's the road line guys, you know, the paint guys, that they paint the double lines or the passing lanes. And they painted right over a rodent that had died right in the middle of the road. And it said, "Not my job. Pick that rodent up and move it so I could paint that little 3 inches there where it was." Every one of us has the responsibility in the body of Christ to look out and watch for our brothers and sisters. Every one of us. And you may not know all of your brothers and sisters, and you may not, well, you should know everybody here, but you may not know all of their problems, but you should know some of them, and not just because someone announced what those problems were. We should all be bearing one another's burdens in prayer, helping that person, seeking to speak a word from the Scriptures into their life, their lives that will encourage them, that will strengthen them, that will help them in a difficult situation that they're going through. You know, when Crystalyn died 12, 13 years ago, you're in a foreign country, and you never expected anything like that to ever happen. And people would send cards, and they were well-meaning people, but if they were just some little fluff that Hallmark had written, you know, it just didn't help. But people who sent Scripture, you just grabbed onto what those verses said in the midst of overwhelming grief. And you could remember, this God and His Word is something that can help me. And so, as an example, as an exhortation in that, when someone's going through something, don't just look for a little fluffy, sentimental card. Write a little card up, make a card, and fill it with God's Word. That is what will help people in times of discouragement and in affliction. How do you come to church? There are people in our church in Mexico, and I hear them say, "Well, that person never says hi to me." And I always say, "Well, did you say hi to them?" "No." "Well, why don't you go over and greet that person? That person is unfriendly, perhaps. A friend that has friends must show himself friendly." And Jesus said, "Love your enemies," okay? Forget your neighbor. You're supposed to love your neighbor, but you have neighbors that are enemies. Other people that you know that are enemies. And so it is our job to go into their lives, whether they are kind or friendly to us or not, and to love them. Jesus said, or Paul says, that several times in his epistles, greet one another with a holy kiss. And you say, "Oh." When we first got to Mexico, you know, that's a pretty common greeting by a lot of, when you get to know people in a church in Mexico, and you know, so these ladies will come up to you and they'll take you, and it's just a kiss on the cheek. You know, you just kind of put the cheek to cheek and you go like that. And at the first, I was kind of like, you know, straight arm. And, you know, that is biblical. And there's some people that you don't want to really do that with. You say, "Oh, I'm not going to do that." Well, whatever your greeting is, maybe it's a side hug. Greet one another with a holy side hug. greet one another with a holy handshake. And that doesn't mean just say, hi, how are you? It just really means warmly in Christ, greet someone else. Greet one another in that way. Ask God to give you a love for that person. Put your arm on their arm and then just warmly, warmly greet them. If God has cared about you, you ought to care about others. And I don't care if you're like that or not. Isn't that our little fallback? I'm not like that. Well, God doesn't say, show love to your brothers and sisters if you're like that. If you're outgoing. No, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. Did you love yourself this week? Tell me how we know that we loved ourselves this week. You fed yourself. Faith? Oh, okay. Somebody's thinking on the same lines here. We fed ourselves. Snooze button on the alarm. Chris? All right, we used the hot water in the shower. That's how we loved ourselves this week. Or made it a little hotter. Anybody else? An extra slice of cake, a blanket or a jacket this morning. Those are ways. You went to the grocery store. You put gas in your car. You clothed yourself according to the weather. And so as we love ourselves, we are to love one another. Can I pray for you? Here's where are you struggling? And at the same time, remember, here's where I'm struggling. People do not want to share where they're struggling with people who they think are going to judge them. And if we come to each other saying, I am a struggling Christian, and we all are, we come to each other and say, I'm struggling. Are you struggling in an area where I can pray for you? And take the focus off of yourself. That person didn't say hello to me. That's terrible. What were they doing? It should be, how can I be a blessing to the rest? Not how can all the rest be a blessing to me? If someone doesn't want to share something with someone else, what should we do? You say, I approached somebody and I asked them if I could pray for them or help them in an area, and they said no. No, I'm fine. Or, how are you doing today? Fine. No, really, how are you doing? And what if they turn their back on you? Well, we could show self-pity. But that's not right. I could want to respond in the same way. Well, turn your back on me? Well, that's fine. Just go your own way. No, I should say, no, really, I want to know how you are doing. The soft answer turns away wrath if someone responds with a bad way. And a soft answer turns away wrath. God persisted and persisted and persisted in pursuing us when we were turning our backs on Him. When we were going in our own ways, when we didn't even care that He was persistent and looking for us, it was kind of like a young child, and the father or the mother says, come, and the child turns around and goes the other way. And so the parent may start after that child. And you reach out to grab the child and he takes his hand and he hits your hand away. And that is those people, or that child is you. That child is me. That's what we were doing. And God persistently pursued us. And He continued until He got a hold of us and He lifted us up out of the pit, out of the miry clay, and He placed our feet upon a rock. And that should motivate us to treat others with the same persistence, seeking to save them by God's grace. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, I really don't want to do that. Okay, well, there's the rub then. Yes, I really don't want to do that. Well, then you're sinning against Christ and against his body. When it comes down, Moses finally was like, well, send somebody else. I have enough. I don't have any more excuses except I really don't want to do this. And if we're sinning against Christ and against his body, we are wrong. And we need to repent of that attitude and ask God to change our hearts and to want, have him make us want what he wants us to do, not what we want to do. Chris? What do you think? I can give an answer, I think, but I would like to hear what you all think. Give that question again, Chris. Somebody comes to you or you go to someone and you're not sure if I share this with them, are they going to judge me? Or are they going to... That it's going to go beyond you. Okay. What say you all? Deb?
I'm saying, because I think we all have that fear, that we have to do what's right. If we trust the Lord that we are going to do what he commands us to do and to bear our burdens and have others bear our burdens, then we have to be willing to take that risk.
Okay, but if I do know that I've gone to Chris and said, Chris, would you pray for me about this? And like five times in a row, 10 other ladies have met me at the door on Sunday morning and said, Mike, we're praying for you for this. Probably not going to go to Chris. Okay. What would be good to do is say to the person that you shared with originally, listen, that's between you and I. I would like you to pray for me. I need help. And if you could speak into my life something from God's word that would help me, I would appreciate that. But please talk to me. Don't talk to other people about that. And if you have the fame or the name of being the person who goes out and shares with everybody else, or a talebearer, Facebook, yeah, hey, pray for, now if you ask someone, would you mind if I shared that as a request? Could I put this out as a church prayer request? I try to ask people that before we send something out, but we just have to pray for a lot of wisdom. There have been times in Mexico where there are people really struggling, and you're trying to deal with these people privately. And then a couple other people become, they know what's going on in the situation, and they're trying to deal with them too. And then just, you know, this family's blowing up. And there's been times after a while where I'll just say to the church, listen, we really need to pray for Mike and Faith. I'll just put my name there, okay? Or whoever that is, we really need to pray for them because they are in a, Satan is desiring to sift them like wheat. And you may not need to know all the details, but pray for them in their marriage or whatever. But you have to be specific enough so that people know how to pray, but you do have to just be wise and just ask the Lord for wisdom in a situation. I don't know if that helps. Is that helpful? Anybody else have a question about that?
Yeah,
Tom.
Couldn't you just say if you were going to share it with other people, well, I have a friend who, without being specifically naming someone?
I have a friend who had a white sweater and a red scarf on this morning. I don't think it would be good. You could ask that person who shares with you, you know, would you mind if we shared this in our ladies group or in our men's meeting to pray for you about this? Now, the more that a church is running to Christ and is a family, the more open we will be. Because we are a family, and you don't say in your family, well, one of the sons in this family, and I only have two, you know, is involved doing this, or one of the four girls here. I mean, we talk about it, and we deal with it. And if we're a body in Christ, the more honest we are about ourselves and with each other, and so we just have to pray and ask the Lord to help us have that love. So you make the first move going to someone else, and remember, Christ pursued me when I had my back turned to him, and I was angry with him, and I was running from him, and I did not desire him at all. And I know that's difficult, but that is what God expects from us as a family. And probably sometime I'll preach on the different one another's in the New Testament. They are many, and the things that we are to do for and to one another, and developing that love in Christ in the body. All right, another question or comment? Cindy.
I'm just going to say, too, when someone comes to you, I've experienced or done on the other side, is they think that you're going to be shocked by it or something, and then you can share, hey, I've been there, I've done that, and that just kind of eases, you know, it's amazing how we think that other person might not know what you're going through, or, you know, because different levels of how long you've gone to the Lord and what you've gone through. So you can be at ease if they say, hey, I know, I've been there too.
That is really important. Somebody does, I mean, the first words out of your mouth should not be, how could you do that? If you really are the chief of sinners, and you are second to me, really, there is nothing, absolutely nothing that really should surprise you if someone told you they were involved in this. There really isn't. Because our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, yours and mine. And we have been changed by Christ, but we still struggle with remaining sin if you have been changed by Christ. Not everybody has been changed by Christ. Christ's church is filled with professing believers. But there are people in the professing group who are tares and not wheat. And they grow together. And Jesus said that they should grow together. Don't pull them out, lest you also pull out the wheat with the tares. And so it's just, there should be nothing that would surprise you. I mean, if somebody came to you and said, I am struggling with whatever, pornography. There's a couple of titles on those little booklets over there that are rather shocking. Why do I have those booklets there? Because there are people in churches who are in Christ who do struggle with that. The good thing is they struggle. When they don't struggle, there's no flesh against the spirit warring in them. And so when we find a brother or sister who's struggling with something, you don't say, how could you be struggling with that? Well, how could you be struggling with so much pride? That all of those go together. And if there's a struggle, we need to help our brothers and sisters who are all struggling. We are all struggling with different things. The sin which does so easily beset us. And that's why we have to constantly put our eyes on Christ. Tom?
Do you equate self-pity with depression and sadness?
I think it can lead to that. I'm not an expert in all of those areas, but I do believe, like a lot of the psychological problems that people have are because they didn't deal with sin when it was smaller, in quotes there, And now it has become full-blown habits, and one leads to another, and they're just so deep into that that it's hard for them to get out. And so you have to unravel. That is something that the Lord really has spoken to me about. I read a book, Leading People Toward, I didn't even read the whole book, Leading People Toward Christ in Counseling. And there was a girl who had suffered so much abuse in her life, sexual, physical, unbelievable when you read about it. And she professed faith in Christ later on. And somebody, a trained professional Christian counselor, good, I'm not speaking of just, you know, a quack who brings all this psychology into, but really someone who tried to get to the heart of the problem. I think they met 238 times. And I thought, oh man, I'd be exhausted. Just to be honest, I would. But this girl, to weed through all of the problems that had come up throughout the years and to get to have her practicing, renewing her mind by Scripture and over and over and over, it can be done, but it takes a lot of work because those habits just didn't come in one day or in one hour. It's come through years many times. And Christ is a patient Savior, and we should be patient people with each other when we recognize how our own hearts are as well. If God did not restrain the evil in your heart and my heart, we could be Adolf Hitlers. And it's only by His grace. That's the only reason why you are not in a history book as someone just like Adolf Hitler. That's the only reason, by God's grace. Okay? Another, Dan. Still in the shallow end with you.
There are people here that I can share deep things in my heart, but I don't feel like I can share that with him. You know, and so if that person that I'm not comfortable with comes to me, yeah, I can give them something because I can use their prayer. And that could be a point of growth in my own life where as I do that more often, I can become more comfortable sharing the burdens that I carry.
Okay, we ought to think personally. Am I somebody that somebody else could come and share a burden with, and they may not feel comfortable, but they would feel comfortable saying, I need help, can you help me? I mean, when somebody comes and says, I need help, they don't, and probably over the years we've been guilty of, how could you need help with that? And that's not a good, healthy attitude. So as much as you might be tempted, if somebody came and said, would you pray for me? I'm struggling with this. Just say, you know, I am struggling in my Christian life with things too. Let's pray about that and let's look into the Scriptures and see how we can get God's help in a situation like this. Okay? Faith, did you have your hand up? That's one reason why I put those booklets out. Because those are issues that Christians struggle with. And we need that. I need that. And, you know, you might just take a book and you say, well, anybody looking, I'm going to take one of these booklets. And, oh, I see you got that book. Oh, it's for my friend. We need those booklets for our own lives. And if you see that someone took a booklet, don't say, wow, they're struggling with this. Had no idea. You might even, if you love that person, say, I saw you had that booklet. Are you struggling with that, or is that for someone else? Can I help you? Because I'm struggling with something like that in my own life. And it's just being honest with each other and with ourselves and seeking to help each other in Christ. Where are we? Did we start 24? Anybody else want to make a comment about 23? Mrs. Stabler. You think of Christians today, and a lot of their problems come from their past. And I have thought, there's a man in our church in Mexico, and he really struggles with his past. And the Lord brought to my mind Paul. Can you imagine Paul returning to Jerusalem on different missionary journeys and seeing a girl who is growing up over the years, and I killed her father? She is fatherless because of me. That mom who is struggling to make ends meet is doing that because I killed her husband. Or I left these children here parentless. Can you imagine that? And here we have that apostle who said, forgetting those things that are behind. And he didn't just forget that, I'm sure. I am sure every opportunity that Paul would have had, he would have been, Here's some money for you as a family. And I love you, and I am so sorry. God has forgiven me. And if I dwell on that, I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to be in a psychological funk, and I might even be in a psych ward. They probably didn't have those in Corinth and Jerusalem and all those places. They didn't. But he would have gone crazy. Alcoholism, drunkenness would have been what he would have turned to probably. But he had Christ, and there was no way to go back and change that. No way whatsoever. But he said, forgetting those things, I'm not going to let that just tear me down. I have a Savior, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is my hope. And I can't make those things right, but it's covered, and it's taken away because of Christ. And we have to go over and over and over to the gospel and preach it to ourselves. Don't let your mind with its natural thoughts talk to you. When you sense that, you know, you're a failure, you're this, you're that, you can't do it. You know, why would God want to save you? Let me ask the question, why would God want to save you? There is one reason. To the praise of his glory. That is the only reason. Because then people look at that and say, wow, if God could save you, what do you mean? I'm not that bad. Yes, you are. Yes, we are. And you should say, I was so bad and God saved me. He can save anybody. That's what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1. To the praise of his mercy and grace. That goes through Ephesians chapter 1. That is why God saved you. And so when we sing songs about God saved me, and there are songs that we sing. Some songs, I just don't sing those songs. I don't pick those songs because it's all about, you know, God was in heaven. He was just thinking about me. We were in mind. But it wasn't because he was just thinking about us. He was thinking about his praise and his glory, and that's why he saved wretches like us. And if we're the end of the object, if we're the direct objects, we do receive his grace, but it's for to the praise of his glory, not because we were so great. And that should be, that should help us to be humble people. All right, well, we'll start with number 24 next week. I'll make you up a new list because we will get more than 24 and 25, probably, next Lord's Day. Let's pray. Father, we have dealt this morning with part of being a body in Christ. And we admit that we struggle with opening ourselves to hurt and shame. But if we really do deserve only wrath, and that is what we deserve, if we get dirt, we get way more than we deserve. And so help us as a body in Christ to be loving and kind and helpful and truthful and graceful with our brothers and sisters who are in Christ Jesus. You have showed us amazing grace. And we say this morning with hearts of worship, how can it be that God would love souls like us? And may it be as we continue our worship this morning to the praise of your glory. May we sing with hearts that are filled to overflowing because you have saved wretches like us. May we worship you and think correctly about you and think correctly about ourselves today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.